We are going to page 47 for the song. Page 47 of the study book. I'm sure you know that the rest songs for this comfort will be from the book. I will know no failure. I will know no defeat. Jesus is my helper. I will never fail. I will know no failure. I will know no defeat. He has spoken to me. I will never fail. Thus says the Lord of Lords to me. Thus says the King of Kings to me. No weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. No weapon fashioned against you shall ever succeed. Thus says the mighty God to me. Thus says the El Shaddai to me. Whatever you lay your hands on shall prosper. Whatever you lay your hands on shall always succeed. Thus says the true healer to me. Thus says my physician to me. No disease of the Egyptians will be yours. No disease of the Egyptians shall fall upon you. Thus says the counselor to me. Thus says my comforter to me. My right hand of righteousness will uphold you. My right hand of righteousness will guide you safely home. Take note that though the chorus after each of the stanzas resemble each other, at least one word in each of the chorus is different from each other. We listen to the tune and then we sing. It is prayer. Come on, say.
I will know no failure. I will know no defeat. Jesus is my helper. I will never fail. I will know no failure. I will know no defeat. He has spoken to me. I will never fail. Thus says the Lord of Lords to me. Thus says the King of Kings to me. No weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. No weapon fashioned against you shall ever succeed. I will know no failure. I will know no defeat. Jesus is my shepherd. I will never, never, never fail. I will know no failure. I will know no defeat. He has spoken to me. I will never fail. Thus is the mighty God to me. Thus is the El Shaddai to me. Whatever you lay your hands on shall prosper. Whatever you lay your hands on shall always succeed. I will know no failure. I will know no defeat. Jesus is my support. I will never, never, never fail. I will know no failure. I will know no defeat. He has spoken to me. I will never fail. Thus is the true healer to me. Thus is my physician to me. The disease of the Egyptians will be yours. The disease of the Egyptians shall fall upon you. I will know no failure. I will know no defeat. Jesus is my healer. I will never, never, never fail. I will know no failure. I will know no defeat. He has spoken to me. I will never fail. Thus is the counselor to me. Thus is my comforter to me. The right hand of righteousness will uphold you. My right hand of righteousness will guide you safely. Oh, I will know no failure. I will know no defeat. Jesus is my comfort. I will never, 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 never fail. I will know no failure. I will know no defeat. He has spoken to me. I will never fail.
My God is great. Stand up and let us talk to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Wake up in the morning and praise the Lord. Later in the evening, oh praise the Lord. Every day of your life, be praising the Lord. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Everybody wake up in the morning and praise the Lord. Later in the evening, oh praise the Lord. Every day of your life, be praising the Lord. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Wake up in the morning and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Later in the evening, oh praise the Lord. Every day of your life, be praising the Lord. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good.
I welcome you, joy, joy of the Lord. I welcome you, joy,
joy of the Holy Ghost. I welcome you, joy, joy of the Lord. Welcome, welcome, joy, welcome to my life.
I welcome you, joy, joy of the Lord. I welcome you, joy,
joy of the Holy Ghost. I welcome you, joy,
joy of the Lord. Welcome, welcome, joy, welcome to my life. Dear Lord, you are great. My Lord, you are great. Your greatness is unsearchable. My Lord, you are great. Close your eyes, lifting up your hands and sing, my Lord, you are good. My Lord, you are great.
Your greatness is unsearchable. My Lord, you are great.
Come on.
My Lord, you are great. My Lord, you are great. Your greatness is unsearchable. My Lord, you are great. Sing it. It's unsearchable, my Lord, you are great.
I keep watching for the dawning of tomorrow, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. All the troubles of today will then be over. God will wipe all the teardrops from our eyes. Come on, we are here today. We become tomorrow, and this life will even be a memory. We are here today. We become tomorrow. When we praise the Lord through all eternity. Today we are getting ready for the final journey, and we are making plans to live in a new home. Soon the starry sky will prove the glance of glory, and the sounding of the trumpet will be done. We are here today. We began tomorrow, and this life will live on be our memory. We are here today. We began tomorrow, when we praise the Lord through all eternity. He's still working on me.
Come on, sing it now. To make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. They are really hard to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet, he has not finished all his part. But I will be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hands. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. In the mirror of his word, reflections that I see made me wonder why he never gave up on me. But he loves me as I am. I ask me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter and the clay. He's still working on. Hallelujah. To make me what I ought to be. He's still working on me. He's still working on me. He's still working on me.
Blessed Lord, our Father. There is none like you. You are so good and gracious. You are so kind You are so wonderful. You are so faithful and reliable. Father, we started this conference 2 days ago. And since then, you have been reshaping, remolding, renewing our lives. Thank you for your revelations. Thank you for the illumination of your word. Thank you for the strength, the nourishment, the grace, the encouragement, the understanding, the power that is released into our lives through your word. Father, we are continuing from where we stopped. We know you never stop your work. Continue it in our lives. Teach us more. Tell us more. Reveal more to us. Grant us understanding of your purpose so that we agree with it and live our lives accordingly, so that in life and in eternity it shall be well with us. We give you all glory, adoration, in the name of Jesus Christ. And the church say, we are actually under study 3. How to experience joy in life and eternity. When we started, God began to reveal some very important truths to us about joy. We were able to understand that joy, being part of the fruit of the Spirit, does not grow to maturity the first day it occurs, but we grow slowly and we continue to increase. We know that being a part of the fruit of the Spirit, it does not manifest in isolation. It does not manifest in isolation. Anywhere you see the true joy, the other 8 parts of the fruit of the Spirit are also there. Meaning that if anybody is manifesting anything that looks like joy, but that fellow does not have along with it love, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance, and the likes, what he's having is only resembling joy. It is not joy. We understood from day one that joy was one of the things a person that gives his life to Jesus experiences at the time he's being comforted. Along with that, he has the witness of the Holy Spirit. He has love for God, for the things of God, and for other children of God. And he also has a change of life. We said that joy is the first signal that a person is born again, and that it is a kind of joy one has never experienced. And we said, it is this joy the Bible calls everlasting joy, that no unbeliever is experiencing such a thing. We said that unbelievers are having gladness, happiness, which depends largely on happenings. They do not have joy, which is a product of the Holy Spirit. We continued and then looked at the meaning and the power of joy. We said, we looked at the dictionary definitions from many dictionaries, which we are not going to start doing again. After that, we looked at the power, we looked at what Bible commentators say about joy, and then the power of joy. We talked about how joy is able to drive away sorrow, uphold in the time of crisis, give strength to do the will of God, make prayer enjoyable, heal the sick, and make one cheerful. After that, we looked at the need and how to weep wisely. We said that weeping and joy can co-inhabit a heart. That one may be weeping while joy is there. And we said sometimes weeping is a necessity. We try to bring from the Bible reasons why a believer may be expected to weep. At the same time, we said our weeping must not continue forever. We must learn how to stop weeping. Because weeping in itself cannot solve our problems. And therefore, we should put our faith, our trust in God, believing that He will take control. Last night, I said we are going to look at how to experience joy in life and in eternity. But we ended discussing only where the true joy cannot be found. And from there, we start the study of today. But I may need to remind us that apart from the studies from this book, we are also opportune to listen to some old messages. The first day, we listened to the sermon of last Sunday. I think that should be 2 Sundays ago. That this way, how to get the best of the confab. And we are told about some of the do's and don'ts that will help us to get the best of Bible Pattern Church. Confab. Yesterday morning, we listened to a message that was preached in 1993. But as fresh as manna gathered today, which talks about major future events, preview of major future events. Talks about the rapture, the great tribulation, the revelation, the judgments, and so on and so forth. And this morning, before doing the little exercise we did, we listen to a message that was preached a week after our brother, the colleague pastor, was buried, titled, "If You Were the One Buried Last Week." And the response was like it was the first day it was first preached. The few people that remain at the back were not attentive enough to know why others were in the front. I learned that some of them were asking later, why are they in the front? Maybe the message wasn't very clear there. But everybody that understood, including those in the Yoruba section, were at the altar, renewing our relationship with God. And I'm sure the message actually made us sober. It reminds us of the facts that we have to prepare as if we are leaving the world immediately. We must not put our hope in this world. If the rapture does not come, death can come at any time. Not all of us could pay serious attention to this, but while we were walking, the elderly, the pregnant women, those who may be sick, I also said those who may not want to walk, that remain inside, were able to hear another message. I later discovered that what those who are outside were hearing was different from what those who are inside were hearing. But it's the same sermon. Those who are outside were hearing English. Those who are inside were hearing Yoruba. The title of the message is "When a Believer Suddenly Dies." And that was the sermon I preached Sunday after our brother Lawyer Fadipe died. And I'm sure it has been an instrument of God to further help us to make sure we don't think only about this world. We think more about where we go when we leave the world. Returning to our main discussion, the secret of everlasting joy. We looked at where the true joy cannot be found last night. We said, though a lot of people wrongly are seeking to get joy through the following things, true joy cannot be gotten through them. Money, as good as it may be. Earthly possessions, as desirable as they may be. Alcohol, in spite of the number of people submitting themselves to it. Fornication, we said that was a very bad thing that generates sorrows for those who seek joy through it. Idol worship. We even looked at the example of some people. Worldly pleasure. That was where we stopped last night. And that is leading us to page 60 as we look at foundation for joy. Everybody say it. You can say it better. Some foundation for joy. You want to build a house, you must start with foundation. And the Bible says that if the foundation is bad, there is nothing the righteous can do. If there is nothing the righteous can do, surely the unrighteous will not be of any help. True joy starts in the heart the day a man gives his life to Jesus and becomes saved. This is what David was talking about in the next verse. Psalm 51, verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. When you give your life to Jesus, that moment you surrender your life to Jesus, after deciding not to continue with your sinful life, four things happen. Number one, you have the joy of salvation springing up in your heart. That's the first sign. Number two, something within you will be telling you in your heart, you are now a child of God. You can now notice that you are having special love, special interest in God, the things of God, and other people of God. Then you have a change of life. This is the only thing that people around can see. The rest are between you and God. The ones called ransom of the Lord in the next scripture are the people the Lord had redeemed. They are called the saved or the born again today. Isaiah 55 verse 10. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The next scripture also talks not only about gladness as a result of physical miracles, but more especially about the joy that came with salvation. Acts 8, verses 5 to 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria
and preach Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Just one man turned the city of Samaria upside down. It was actually building on the foundation Jesus laid when he was still in the world. You can remember the woman that he preached to at the well. That was actually the beginning. This same joy of salvation that these people had that day, and that is called everlasting joy in the scriptures we had read, in Romans chapter 15 verse 13, is called joy in believing. Joy in believing. Romans chapter 15 verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Joy and peace in believing. Here is how the joy is described in the epistle of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is not what a natural man can have. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. What I am trying to establish here is that salvation is the foundation for true joy. It means then that the true joy of God is not known to any sinner. Look at your neighbor and say, the true joy of God is not known to any sinner. Say it. You didn't say it well. Point a finger. If you are a sinner in this house, do we make you member, worker, elder, or minister in Bible potential? If you are not yet born again, the true joy of God, you don't know. And you cannot know. It is after a person has repented and surrendered the whole of his life to Jesus that he begins to experience the true joy of God. Because it is a product of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit, unbelievers cannot receive. So you will need to have connection with the Holy Spirit, the owner of the true joy, to be able to experience true joy. To do this, you have to be born again. You have to be saved. How is a man saved? Three things have to be done. How many? I can't hear you. Number one, repentance from all sins. Repentance from all sins. Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be comforted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I have told you before, repentance is a major demand of God from anyone and everyone that will please him. This is what pastors are expected to preach about continuously. This was the first sermon Jesus preached. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The same thing with John the Baptist. The same thing with Peter on the day of Pentecost. The same thing with all the apostles. When Jesus sent his disciples to two, he asked them to go to everywhere and preach repentance. Praise the Lord. If you want to be saved, you have to repent. Go to churches today. There are a lot of kangaroo arrangements. All kind of manipulations. Not for the benefit of those who come to church, but for the benefit of the proprietors of churches. Don't let anybody deceive you. The problem between man and God is sin. Everybody say it. The problem between man and God is what? Is sin. The problem between man and God is what? It's not money. Come. How much does God need that only man can supply? Eh? In the book of Psalm 50, I suggest you read it today. It's a short scripture, chapter. God told the children of Israel, when they began to make yanga with their sacrifices, he said, Israel, come here. Who has made all the cow upon thousands of mountains? Am I not the one? He said, if I am hungry, I will not tell you. Guess what type of hunger God will have in case he does experience hunger, that he will need to beg man before he gets what to eat. The problem between God and man is sin. And anybody that will bring reconciliation between man and God must deal with the issue of sin with seriousness. Lip service is paid to the issue of sin in most churches today. It has gone so bad that many people coming to church, nay, those who have stayed long in the church, nay, those who are occupying important positions in the church also, think that it's not possible for man to live above sin in this sinful world. But who are we to believe, men or God? Huh? 1 John chapter 3. Verse 8 says, he that committed sin is a property of the devil. It means is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this cause the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9 is so clear. He says, he that is born of God does not sin. And he cannot sin, for his seed remaineth in him. Maybe I need to remind you that the writer of that scripture was John the Beloved. And when Jesus was in the world, John was the closest human being to Jesus in the world. He was so close that even when Jesus was dying on the cross, Jesus could talk directly to him from the cross. He was so close to Jesus that when Jesus was dying on the cross and knowing that the mother would need care, he handed over the care of his mother to John. John was the one God gave the privilege of seeing all the revelations about future events that we have in the book of Revelation. The same John. He was actually the only one that died peacefully among the 12 apostles. Though he has spent a long time in that island of death and destruction called Patmos. And it was said that an emperor of Rome ordered him to be fried alive. Theologians don't agree, historians don't agree as to what actually happened. There are those who think that the judgment was not executed. Others think he was rescued miraculously by God. Whatever be the case, he died peacefully at Ephesus. The same John said, he that committed sin is a property of the devil. The only problem between God and man is sin. To be saved, the first requirement is to agree you are a sinner and be ready to forsake your sin. When that is done, then you are prepared to surrender your life to Jesus. If you are ready to do that, Jesus will save your soul instantly. There are so many other things we want to receive from God, and it will take some time. We pray, sometimes we fast, we see the face of God, sometimes we join hands with others to pray. But when it comes to the issue of salvation, you don't need any special man of God. You don't need any special holy place. You don't need any special arrangement. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives have been opportune to wash terrible sinners becoming born again within a very short time. And they are so born again that you can see it on their faces that something has happened to them. You can see it in their attitude, and from that moment you can see it in their manner of life. Complete change of life. But you start with children. Those of you that are in the church, and all we say in the church, we say it's for daddy and mommies. You go to school and you live in sin. You are not saved. And if you are not saved, you are not a child of God. And unfortunately, God doesn't have grandchildren. Don't call God grandpa. Don't make that mistake. He doesn't have grandchildren. So you are not going to be a child of God because your parents are children of God. Your parents can be a children of God and you are a child of the devil. And look, hell has no respect for age. Every woman that have not reached the age of accountability before dying automatically will go to heaven. But anyone that has reached the age of accountability will be held accountable for his sin. Once you know what is sin, you know what is Satan, you know what is Jesus, you are able to differentiate. You have already reached your age of accountability. Somebody say, Daddy, please tell us the age. I don't know it. It's not recorded in the Bible. And it's not the same everywhere. It's not the same with everybody. It depends on your level of development. Some children can develop faster than others. So God is the one that determines your age of accountability. Once you have reached that age and you are not born again, when you die, you find yourself at the bottom of hell. And for that not to be, you must be saved. It is at the point of salvation that everlasting joy starts in you. And that joy will not depart from you. Comes rain, comes sunshine, comes peace, comes trouble, is there within you. In every situation, in every circumstance, as long as you stay with the Lord. That's why it is called everlasting. But it does not become unforfeitable. It does not become permanent and unforfeitable until you actually cross to the other side. What is the second thing to do? I said three things. To be saved. You surrender your life to Jesus. Look, a lot of deceptive, deceitful, destructive, damnable activities are done in the name of Jesus today. There are preachers who do all other things and will not talk anything about sin. And all they say is, we want to give you the opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ. If you like to give your life to Jesus Christ, say after me, Jesus, Jesus, I give my life to you. I'm Jesus. I'm born again. Congratulations, you're born again. When did you tell them to repent? Luke 13, verse 3, Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So surrender your life to Jesus is more than to repeat some things, some religious jargons after a preacher. It has to do with the determination in your heart that this Jesus I have decided to follow. With that decision in your heart, you are led to God. If there is anybody to lead you, if there is nobody to lead you, lead yourself. You don't even need to know how to say it well. Once you meet the requirement, number one, repentance. Deciding not to sin. Number two, deciding to surrender your life to Jesus. Whether you say it well or you say jaga jaga, if you say Jesus save my soul, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You'll be born again. And like I said, when you are born again, the first signal you will see, joy. The kind of joy you have never experienced. The second signal, you will not hear with your ear, physical ear, but within you, you just know. Something within you will be telling you, you are now a child of God. Number three, you just see that you have special love for God, for the things of God, for other children of God. Let me tell you, soul winners. I do not say don't pursue them. The Bible says compel them to come that my house may be filled. But in reality, anybody you call new comfort, and unless you send text message, unless you go to pursue, unless you go to remind him, he will not come to church. He lost your church. He lost your sermon. He is comforted to you, but he's not born again. Anybody that is born again, at the earliest stage of his relationship with God, oh my God, there's something within him that is burning for Christ. He wants to be in the church. He wants to come to fellowship. He wants to hear the word of God. Sometimes he comes to church and discovers there is no service and say, oh, I thought we have service today. In fact, some of them, after some time, they begin to complain about the lives of other people and say, ah, you people, you don't love Jesus. What's wrong with you? Even the people they meet in, that is the foundation. And that's a proof that they are born again. Hallelujah. Then, above all, there's a change of life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. If you claim to be born again and you are still keeping the picture of girlfriend in your album, you will soon be in trouble even if you are genuinely born again. You claim you are born again, you still go to night party and sit with drunkards. You claim to be born again, you don't tell big lies. But you can get to office by 8 o'clock and write 7:30. You are not born again. No, you may become religious. And that religiosity may reduce your level of sinning. But when we talk of becoming a child of God, you are yet to be. So three things. Number one, to be saved, you must repent. Number two, you must surrender your life to Jesus. Number three, you must say the prayer of salvation. Romans chapter 10 verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've told you, you don't need to know how to say it specially. Soul winners, don't be afraid. Yes, I agree. Anything worth doing at all is worth doing well. Learn how to do it well. But don't be afraid that, will I be able to lead this fellow? Be sincere. Be faithful. If you have an opportunity to lead anybody to salvation, make sure you don't make him to make a decision that doesn't come from his heart. Don't rush him into making decision when he's not ready. Continue to persuade him. But immediately you see the signal. Like Paul saw at Philippi. What should I do to be saved? Don't hesitate. Let him make commitment immediately before the devil will change his mind. Tell him that, let's pray. Confess your sins to God. So winner, in case you don't know, to confess sins to God does not mean you mention all the sins you have ever committed. Can you remember all? Some workers don't understand. They want the sinner to mention, say, God, you fornicate, you lie, you cheat. In the process, they can even tell new lies. To confess your sin in this wise is to say to God, I am a sinner. Once you say that with the whole of your heart, you have confessed your sin. Don't misunderstand me. After you become a believer, you are expected not to sin. But if by any reason you sin, you may have to explain to God. But for somebody who is looking for salvation, he doesn't need to start saying, Moshegbe Awori, I lied before, I steal before, I drank before. He may not remember. All he needs to do is to acknowledge before God that he is a sinner. To acknowledge before God, he agreed Jesus is the only Savior. And to acknowledge before God, he have now decided to become a follower of Jesus. When you say that in your prayer and say, Jesus, save my soul, I promise you, he will not ask you to come back tomorrow. I'm so sure. Very, very sure. I'm so sure. He will not ask you to come back tomorrow. He will save your soul immediately. Then you need to keep your salvation. Foundation for everlasting joy is what we are looking at here. That's Psalm 51 verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy right spirit. What do you ask to be restored? Amen. It is something that you are possessing, but for one reason or the other, you are not currently having, but you want it to come back. Amen. If a village is being given electricity for the first time, when they switch on the light for the first time in the village, it will be a bad English for anybody to say it's been restored. If your English teacher is to mark your paper, it will call you Olodo. You can say light has been provided, but you cannot say I've been restored. But if never put your area in darkness for 1 day, 2 day, 1 week, 1 month, whatever, and you go to worry them, they say transformer is bad, whatever. By the time they come to repair the transformer or change it, when they switch on the light, now somebody will say light has been restored. The meaning is that there was light there before. Now it has returned. When he said restore unto me the joy of their salvation, he was actually talking about the fact that he was once having that joy, but the joy departed and he wanted the joy to come back. Also, it is very clear from that scripture, Psalm 51 verse 12, that the joy of salvation can be lost. I told you yesterday that it is everlasting, does not mean it is permanent when you are saved. It only becomes permanent and unforfeitable when you are outside the world, through the rapture or death. Can you remember the illustration I made 2 days ago of somebody who went to a foreign land, made fortune, and when he was to come back, reduce all his fortune to a piece of precious stone. Was it diamond? And he entered ship to return. And while in the ship, he decided to look at his precious stone, to which he has reduced all his property. And after some time, he began to throw it up, cash it, throw it up, cash it. And one time he threw it again. The precious stone fell into the sea. And thus he lost everything he acquired for so many years. I ask you, that precious stone, now inside the sea, is it still precious? You said yes. Still bright and shining. Still very valuable. Still very expensive. But is it still beneficial to the owner? No. The eternal life you receive when you give your life to Jesus, the everlasting joy you receive when you give your life to Jesus, does not become permanent and unforfeitable until you actually get to Beulah Land. So if you lose it, it remains precious, it remains eternal, but it's no longer with you.
Hallelujah. So, we need to bear in mind that it is the loss of salvation itself that brings about the loss of its joy. I told you that when salvation is like a container, you first receive it before you start to receive other graces of God. And into it you receive sanctification, baptism with the Holy Ghost, power, peace, other things. And if for anything you lose your salvation, all other graces of God you receive are lost along. Go to churches today. Pastor will tell you I'm a sinner. And all of us are sinners. If he's a sinner, should he be your pastor? There are those who even think that nobody is not sinning. We are all lying. It's a lie.
I'm a new creature. I'm a brand new man.
Sing it.
Oh, things are passed away. I am born again. More than conqueror. That is what I am. I'm a new creature.
I'm a brand new man. Face your neighbor.
No. If you are not a new creation, you have no problem. You can sing it. You know what you do?
You are a new creation. You are a brand new man.
Talk to him.
But if you know you are a new creation, face somebody and say, I'm a new creation. Sing it. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I am born again. More than a conqueror. That is what I am. I'm a new creature. I'm a brand new man.
After a person is saved, he will need to be doing some things to be able to keep his salvation and thus the joy that comes with it.
Prayer without ceasing.
From day one, a person gives his life to Jesus, he must start to pray. Look, prayer does not require any special technicality. Go to churches today, you see pastors refining their language, their words. Olorun oke gagara, Olorun okiriri, Olorun rapata, Olorun repete, Olorun bebebebebebebe. If it is from the heart, no problem. But I call some of these prayers prayer of entertainment. Everybody say it. God doesn't need your entertainment. Don't waste your life. Moses stammer. He was a stammerer. So when he will tell Pharaoh that water will turn to blood, he can't start to say, Olorun girigiri, Olorun kamama, God high, God down, God big, God small. He can't say it. Before he finished pronouncing God, so all he needed to do was before he finished stammering that, the water has turned to blood. The water has turned to blood. Don't try to impress God with the way you say the prayer. Say the truth in your heart. And when you don't know what next to say, pause and say, Father, I don't know what next to say. Even that we are able to pray is by His grace. So tell a new convert you can start to pray. You say, I don't know how to pray. You know how to pray. Anybody who knows how to talk knows how to pray. In fact, I hope you will not hear what I say, what I do not say. Anybody who knows how to think knows how to pray. Because you don't have to open your mouth every time you pray. You say, maybe we don't open my mouth. I didn't say don't open your mouth. I say it's not necessary you always open your mouth every time you pray. You can do like this and be praying. Many times when I'm preaching, I see the face of somebody there. And I remember I was supposed to pray for this fellow. Hey, I did not remember. You say, so you didn't remember to pray for me? Ah, many of you, I don't even remember you exist. Eh? Then you are not my pastor. I may not be your pastor tomorrow, but as of today, I'm your pastor. So then how are you doing it? That you say, God will do everything. Why you are not praying for me? I'm praying for you. But do you know the first person that is praying for you? Huh? Have I a story to tell you, brother? Can you still remember that song? It is the story of Jesus. Jesus is praying for you right now in the presence of God. And therefore, oh my brother, don't worry. Jesus will take control. You will not be put to shame. What will happen? It shall be well with you. What I need to do is to make sure I bring you to the center of the will of God. Once you are there, the rest will take care of itself. Teach the new convert, start to pray. How do you pray? The same way you talk. You don't need to call the name of Jesus 7 times. Yeah, it's not in the Bible that you should pray in the Lord Christ.
ewa gbadura e so pe loruko je Jesu where is it in your Bible? All these technical things they put into it. Sometimes they are instruments of manipulations so that the prayer will look clear. You can pray anywhere, anytime. You can pray in the night, you can pray in the day. You can pray in the morning, in the afternoon. You can pray in any language. God understands. Somebody says, God hears the footstep of the ants. How will he not be able to hear your voice? Many times I pray without opening my mouth. And I see miracles following the prayers. Don't let anybody deceive you. You don't need to make special noise before God will hear. No, you may be overwhelmed and you cry. It's not a sin. Cry unto me. But while somebody is crying, you can be praying silently. God will still hear. I've told you, pastors, Bible Pattern Church, determine what you are running. If it is Bible Pattern Church, you do it as we are shown. And God will show Moses, the Moses will show you. Then when you decide to bring your own in, that's string fire. Hallelujah. We don't put speakers outside when we do night Fiji, do we? If your pastor puts speaker outside, go and meet your pastor before the Fiji and say, Daddy, I heard when you were told in Lagos that we don't need to put speaker outside. We are not praying for the, we are not praying to the people outside. We are praying to who? God. And he can hear without loudspeaker. Look at the madness everywhere today. There are people who conduct night Fiji. They put loudspeaker everywhere. And when the drummers are beating, bah, go, be. Even sick people where they are sleeping, praying that they will have rest. They use the noise to disturb them. There is somebody go to me there. You people are using noise to disturb them. Say, ah. When it comes to church, say, our prayer is already working out. When fire hit them, they came to me. It's not fire. It's your madness they are complaining about. And the earlier you repent, the better. Loudspeaker for night Fiji is madness. Everybody say it. Hold it, hold it. Outside loudspeaker for night Fiji is madness. Say it again. It's madness. It's madness. Who are you trying to impress? And most of these prayers do not go beyond the roof of the church. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with the whole of your heart. So, to keep salvation, prayer. Number two, Bible. If somebody gives his life to Jesus, he must have Bible immediately. And I don't know if you mothers are doing it. I have told you that the day you are naming your baby, your Bible should be ready. I mean, the Bible of the baby should be ready. I hope we'll be able to enforce that. I'm looking forward to the time we want to name a child. And we ask the mother, where is the child's Bible? And if the Bible is not supplied, then we peg the naming until the Bible is brought. I'm looking forward to the time we'll be able to do that. He said, what will the baby do with the Bible? Write his name there. As he's growing, tell him, this is your Bible. He said, no, children, we need pictorial Bible. Buy pictorial Bible, but buy real Bible. A day is coming that child will be matured enough to be able to read it. So read Bible. If you give your life to Jesus and you are not reading Bible every day, you don't plan to live long spiritually. Witnessing Jesus to others is a major requirement from a believer that wants to stay in the faith. You don't need to go to Cambridge to learn how to preach. Jesus saved my soul. He can save your soul. Shekinah. Tell him your story if you don't know what to say. To be a believer for long, you must be a member of a local Christian congregation, a member of the Church of Jesus. You have the Church Universal. You also have local branches. Your new birth experience has automatically made you a member of the body of Christ, the invisible church. But you must also be a member of a local assembly, where they will know you as a member. where they can call you to order, where they can question you, where they can find out if you are not in assembly and query you why you are not in the assembly. If you don't start that immediately after you are born again, that your new battle of experience will soon be stolen by the devil. Then you learn to resist the devil. No. You don't need to become a bishop to resist the devil. And you don't need to go to any mountain. There are those who think that his prayer will use to resist the devil. Yes, prayer may be part of it. But the primary thing you do to resist the devil is to do the opposite of whatever he suggests. Everybody say, do the opposite of whatever he suggests. If he asks you to sit down, stand up. If you are sure the devil says sit down, stand up. If you are sure the devil says stand up, sit down. If the devil tells you go forward, decide to stay in one place. If he asks you to stay, move, run, papa. It's a way of resisting the devil. There are those who think it's only when we say Satan. No, yes, we say it too. We cast out devils. But the best way of resisting the devil is to do the opposite of whatever he tells you. New comfort must be taught how to resist the devil. You know why? After the salvation, he will soon pass through the entrance of the shop where he used to buy paraga. And the paraga will look attractive once again. And demons around will say, you are not going to drink plenty like before. You drink small. Small paraga, big paraga. What will be the end of it? Perdition now. Paraga. Small paraga, big paraga will lead to addition. The devil is still going to suggest smoke cigarettes. If you cannot smoke the confessional one, smoke electronic cigarette. Cigarette is cigarette. I'm telling you, Ajoke will still call. I'm sure you know Ajoke. Those of you that be Ajoke here, don't be offended though. It's a Yoruba name, meaning all of us are carrying her. She's having like 4 or 5 boyfriends. One is HIV positive, one is carrying venereal disease, one is 419, and one is an occultic person who has sacrificed his blood to the devil, and that blood they pour into her body, and she carries the body to you. You add your own to it. What will be the end of it? Now that you are born again, you don't start by deleting the number of Ajoke. The first thing is to call Ajoke and say, Ajoke, I'm now born again. So I want you to know that end has come to our relationship. And I'm sorry for treating you like that. I've not been good to you for agreeing to be your boyfriend. It was a very wrong thing. And Ajoke smiled at the other side and said, oh, glory to God. I gave my life to Jesus yesterday too. Say, okay, look for a good church and fix yourself there. And I say, and I will be calling you so that you encourage me. Say, from this day, I'm not going to call you. And in case you call me, I will not pick your number. So don't be offended. God bless you. Talk to your pastor. Delete. That's how to be born again. As long as you are still communicating with Ajoke, you will fornicate with her again. This is what I have counseled. Church, anywhere you are going, if you see a woman you have had carnal knowledge of before, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, if you see her coming like this, take this route or this other route and wave. Hello? Ekojometo? And run. I'm telling you. If you allow her to jam you, Satan, come on for road. Whether you carry Holy Ghost or Ghost Holy, you will have spiritual accidents. No, there are things I've told you. Bible pattern children. All of you that fell into sin, all of them confess that I did contrary to what I was told. I've told you. If you do what I ask you to do, you'll be at the center of the will of God. You can be sure the day you close your eyes, don't ask questions, you'll be at the bosom of the Lord. But do what I ask you to do. I've told you. that don't have a reason as a man to enter the room a woman is occupying alone. If she's sick and she's at the point of death, call other people to join you. But say you are going to pray for a sick person. Was Amnon not sick? One time I went to fry dodo, I begin to fry. She sickness you follow. Tamar brought a plate of food, and Amnon simply stretched his hand beyond the plate and gripped the hand, and the plate fell away. Then he said, "Lie with me, my sister." He said, "Oh, no." Before he could say anything, he has bolted the door and destroyed our virginity, our testimony, our joy, our peace, our chastity, and our testimony. Any room a man is occupying alone, don't have any reason to enter alone. Any reason. He said, it's my senior brother. A woman in somewhere in the East. In fact, I was searching my laptop. I discovered that the picture was there. Maybe if I have my way, I will show you the picture when we are looking at those pictures. I said, you look at it. The picture was there where she's kissing. She decided to marry her son. Our own son, Nigeria, not Tanzania. She said she suffered, sent her son to university. And now the child is grown up. Then a woman will just come and snatch him away. Like, I won't agree. And she said she was in love with her son. At the time she was talking, she was 6 months pregnant for her son, Nigeria. I have the picture where they are kissing one another. You cannot see the sign that everything has cracked. All the devil needs to do is to just do like this. But God will not permit him until it's the right time. And I've told you, once you are still seeing me around, Olewo, I'm telling you, if you wake up and you open your eyes, and you see this side of Ogunsonya, Fokan Bale, rapture or Tishele. How can you be so strong? I'm so sure. Anything it will cost, I've decided to pay. And I've told God, if you know I will sin tomorrow, take me today. I've told you, I don't pray for long life. If you pray that God make my life long, I may say amen to respect you, but my heart don't say amen. It's a foregone conclusion. It's settled between me and God. If you hear that tomorrow and you weep, somebody say, Pastor is about to die. That's why I talk like that. Show up, about to die. Somebody says, man begin to die from the same day he's born. Immediately you are born like this, you start the journey of dying. Iku koto lati beru. Sing it. Yesu oluwa sheleri. Ba ti leku awa yosi tunye. Ma she beru. Ma she foyarara. Eru koba mimo. Tori mo ni Yesu. Aya kofo mimo. Ni tori. Go to some Christian circle. Immediately you say death. Everybody is like, how about that? Hey! You will die. I say we will not die young. Okay, you will not die young. Lie. In Jesus' name. Hey, Shamini. You know it's a lie. When is your time to die, you will die. When you die does not matter. You know what matters? Where you find yourself. The church is not a boring center where they will be telling you sweet, sweet things. Even when you are walking on the path of destruction, they say, Lila, you're not going to see the destruction. Somebody in your presence, open well. Well, it's OG. 70 feet deep. There is water up to 20 feet. In your presence, you open the well. It's not a well digger. He doesn't know how to dig well. He removed his shoe. And he stood on top of the well and said, be, kule, be, lomo, dem, be. And you say, you're not going to die. We leave that. Eh? When you are a smoker and pastor pray, you will not perry. They are deceiving you. You are a fornicator. They pray you will not perry. They are deceiving you. All of you that are lying here, anybody who pray you will not perry is deceiving you. The only thing that will make you not to perish is so stop sinning. Give your life to Jesus. After you have done that, if the whole world pray you will perish, you will not perish. You didn't get what I said. Drop your sin. Give your life to Jesus. Let all the pastors in the world pray you will perish. You will not perish. Stay with your sin. Don't give your life to Jesus. Let all the pastors in the world pray you will not perish. One day, you'll find yourself at the bottom of hell.
Forever. Sing it. Oh Lord.
Sing it.
Thy word is settled. Forever, 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 oh Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, it is.
How to keep, sorry, how to experience joy in life and eternity. That's the next point. And that is in page what? Come on. The beginning of 63. There are two eternities ahead of all men. Eternity of joy and eternity of sorrow. One chooses the one he will go while still in the world.
Amen.
I remember a sermon I preached as a small boy. They call Ayedu Ekiti. Whether it is Odo or okay, I can't remember, but it was Ayedu. I'm still remembering the sermon as if I'm preaching it now. I started by saying, some people sing, Otuni Oba Boda La Ira. So I called the sermon in Yoruba, Mbolo no Wotuwa. Ono Wotu, where is it? There are those who think that when they get to heaven, they will branch to the right. You are already where you want to branch. Left, you are already there. Right, you are already there. The narrow way that leads to heaven, those who are there now. The broad road that leads to hell, those who are going there, they are already there. You should see through the way you relate with God. You come to church, we tell you the Bible says, bless and curse not. Yeah, you see a church there where they are cursing, you join them in cursing. And the Bible says, as he loved cursing, let it be his portion. Yeah, you say, when you get to Alayira, you branch right. You are already on the left hand. In case you don't know, majority of the people in the world are on the left. Majority. Majority. God is not unaware. He's aware. Somebody said the people on the way to heaven are not many, and therefore Jesus cannot come now. It's a lie. Jesus says, when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith on earth? And the way things are going. Look!
Amen.
The place they call Ephesus in the Bible, that church that was blameless. That church to whom Paul unfolded the mysteries of the kingdom of God is a place they call Turkey today, having very scanty believers. If you want to go to Babylon, even start with Tower of Babel, you go to Iraq.
Amen.
The tomb where tradition claim Jonah the prophet was buried was in Iraq. But there was a mosque on top of it. Islamic State blew up the place last week. In case you don't know, the group they call Islamic State, Islamic State. They said they are starting a caliphate. And the leader says he's now the leader of all Muslims all over the world. And he decreed that in Iraq today, the area that are under is control. As a Christian, you convert to Islam fastly, or you pay huge amounts of money as tax to be able to remain a Christian, or you get out. Or, and all the Christians have paid their load. Say, thank God they ran away. Ran to where? They are on top of mountains. As I yesterday, United Nations is crying that they should look for how to use plane to draw food for them inside the bush they are. Because you cannot go by road. IS is surrounding them, even on the mountain they are, Iraq. All these people they call Christians, they are Orthodox, these Orthodox, they are Catholic, and the rest of them. You say, what about Pentecost? Ambo Nongbe? Alubi Yahoo. You don't know that that thing that started in Bono, only if God take control, it can spread to anywhere. Those of you who are thinking that a revival is still coming when a lot of people will give their life to Jesus before Jesus will come, it's a trick of the devil to make sure you don't prepare for the rapture. It's a lie. There's going to be a revival during the Great Tribulation. And it's going to be a revival of backsliders. Those who know the truth today but refuse to follow the truth. Those who have heard the word of God but refuse to live their life for Christ. Some of you present here may be in that revival. When the Antichrist begins his war, you say, then you repent and surrender yourself. But if you are waiting for any revival this time, I was in a college in the 80s. Some people say, oh, shall I go to America? Year 2000 and beyond, close to 2000. Peter Wagner came to Nigeria. Other people, we pray for revival. If you love yourself, you expect the rapture. And in case you don't expect the rapture, the Antichrist will come on you. He said, Pastor, don't cross her. If anybody struggle with you, tell Jehovah Witness, I want you now this source. And now I talk to God, when you see a woman in your house that claims to be a Pentecostal using courses to train his children, join her. Curse your own children too. When you see somebody next to you calling her mother-in-law, Elisa Osimeji, join her. Then when your friend said, don't mind your pastor, who can say we don't sin? The Bible says if we say we know they sin, we are liars. All of us are sinners. Join him in being a sinner. And see what you will face. You will
Hallelujah.
You choose where you will be while you are still in the world. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Everything is settled when you are still in the world. But one day you will wake up and find yourself somewhere. What Jesus says about these two eternities are as follows. John 14, 1, 2 and 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where there you may be also. That is for those who will go to eternity of blessedness. Okay. Eternity of sorrow. Matthew 25:46. And this shall go away into everlasting punishment, for the righteous into life eternal. If you know how much resources, how much effort Satan is putting into this business of deceiving, how much religiosity, how many institutions he's establishing, you'll be amazed. What are the major differences between Jehovah's Witnesses and other churches? Jehovah's Witnesses believe there is no eternal punishment. Jesus says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Who should we believe? Jesus or Jehovah's Witnesses? Ha! Who? For you to prepare for eternity of joy and not that of sorrow, repent from your sins. Surrender your life to Jesus. Become a member of the true church of God. Submit to the authority of Jesus. Separate from everything sinful, worldly, and satanic. Obey all the commandments of God. Be faithful in church attendance. Develop your new love for God and for other members of the church. Endeavor to do the will of God in all areas of your life. When I say all areas of your life, I'm talking about your physical life, your spiritual life, your marital life, your business life, your social life, all areas. Endeavor to do the will of God. Make sure you are truly ready for the rapture of the saints. Oh, can you remember the story of the 10 virgins? 5 were ready. 5 were not ready. Make sure you are ready. Don't say, I will get my sanctification later. Receive it now. Receive it now. Don't say, let me commit one sin more before I will be saved. Repent now and be saved. How do you make your joy grow? I've told you that joy can increase or decrease. Even the everlasting joy. To make your joy grow, you need to always fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We need to be going to the presence of God. Psalm 16:11. Thou will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And thy right hand, at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. We need to be fellowshipping with other children of God. Psalm 122:1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hebrews 10:25 says we shouldn't forsake the assembling of one another. And 1 Corinthians 16:17. I am glad of the coming of Servanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Oh, 2 Corinthians 7:6. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. You know what all of these are saying? The fellowship of believers help to grow our love. Be reading the word of God, eating it like food. Jeremiah 15:16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. We need to be praying. John 16:24. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. We need to be singing spiritual songs. I'm still going to talk about that. The place of singing, dancing, and the rest of them. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We need to be winning souls. The Bible said there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Luke 15:3-5. You share that joy on earth when you win souls. If you do not have the joy of God in your life, it may be because you still need to be saved. Or if you have lost your joy, that may be an evidence that you have backslided. And if you will repent and pray like David of old, your joy will be restored. Always keep your joy
by staying at the center of the will of God. Don't allow Satan or any of his agents to snatch it away from you by luring you, drawing you, pushing you into doing anything contrary to the will of God. Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Shout hallelujah. If your joy will not be snatched from you, it is your duty to hold it fast. Tell your neighbor, hold it fast. Say it again. Say it again. I've shown you what to do to receive joy. Joy everlasting. I've also shown you what to do to retain your joy. To keep your joy. So that Satan and his agents do not snatch it from you. Prayer alone will not do it. Singing alone will not do it. Wishing alone will not do it. How many of you are happy you belong to Jesus? I am glad I belong to Jesus. I am glad I'm a child of God. I am glad I belong to Jesus. I am glad I'm a child of God. I am glad, oh, I am glad. I am glad, oh, I am glad. I am glad, hallelujah. I am glad, oh, I am glad. Did he die in vain? Many people don't know it. You have the song, it's here. Stand up and let us pray. I am glad I belong to Jesus. I am glad I'm a child of God. I am glad I belong to Jesus. I am glad I'm a child of God. I am glad, oh, I am glad. I am glad, oh, I am glad. I am glad, hallelujah. I am glad, oh, I am glad.
We have two groups of people here. Those who are not saved and needs to be saved. Okay, we also have those who are saved. They are former believers that need to return to the Lord. And we also have those who are in the will of God today. Which group do you belong? There is no group you belong that you don't need prayer. If you are not saved, you know what you do. Very simple. Tell Jesus, I'm a sinner. I don't want to continue to be a sinner. Have mercy on me. Save my soul. He will save your soul today. I promise you. He won't ask you to come tomorrow. Whether anybody lays hand on you or not, you'll be saved. If you are backslided, you need a little more prayer than that fellow. Explain to God. The Bible says, remember where thou art fallen and do the first work. So you need to do a little more than that fellow that is coming newly. But God can still restore you. Say, Lord, restore unto me the joy of salvation. Help me that I will not leave this program a backslider. Give me the grace to come back to the fold, to come back to your joy, to come back to eternal life. Oh Lord, pull me to yourself like you did to the prodigal son. And in case you think you are standing in the will of God today, the Bible says he that thinketh is standeth should take heed. Oh Lord, uphold me. Don't let me fall. Don't let me fail. May I not be defeated. I know somebody will be thinking of other things, but some people will be praying. If you are one of those who will pray, open your mouth and begin to pray. Pray and talk to God. Who knows what will happen next? Who knows if this is the last message you will hear? Who knows if another opportunity will not come your way? Make good use of this before it is too late.
Lord, have mercy on me. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. Baba, don't let me fail. Have mercy on me, oh Lord. Keep me in your wing. Keep me in the truth, so that I will not fail. Have mercy on me. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Who knows what will happen tomorrow? Who knows if you will not have another opportunity?